Nicole Brandon and Hourglass Bride, and welcome to the show. We have such an exciting show for you today. We have one of my very favorite guests, and one of the most extraordinary, one of my favorite people in the world, and that is Michelle Caron. Michelle is absolutely amazing in her gifts, in her talents, and her knowledge, and her wisdom, and in her intuition in astrological field. And so today we're going to be talking about astrology and signs and love, and it's so appropriate because Michelle is French and Finnish born, and she actually became aware of her psychic abilities when she was just a child after she read Linda Goodman's Sun Signs. And she was only 14 years old. And so we're going to talk about how that affected her. We're going to talk about how she knew the difference between relationships and the astrology and relationships. And she enrolled in the Faculty of Astrological Studies in London to earn her diploma just a few years later. And after she completed her graduate studies in medieval astrology, which is just, to me, absolutely fascinating, she went on and she studied the role of archetypes, the meaning of human existence in the world. She was selected as the exclusive astrologer at the 78th Academy Awards, where she did readings for several of the prestigious nominees. She is known throughout the world for her ability, for her skills and her talent, for her predictions, her intuition, and being able to help people unfold the life that's in front of them. So we are so thrilled. We're going to talk to her about her background, about you, about love, about romance, and mostly about how your astrological sun and your signs affect your life and your relationships. So we welcome today with great joy, great pleasure, and great honor, Michelle Caron. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm so excited to be here again. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. You know, when you were on the Unlimited Life show, we had so many people that had so many questions and were so excited to meet you and so excited to follow and continue your work. And so I'm so thrilled to bring you on here because when I was looking at your bio and it was saying that Linda Goodman's Sun Signs was one of the first books you read, I know that that's really a book about not only relationship with yourself, but it's also relationship with other people using astrological signs.
So
first, for those who are new to you and your work, share a little bit about your background, which is, I mean, I could have spoken the entire hour just on your bio and your background. And there's so much, and we would love to have you as a regular on this show. But for those that are new to astrology and new to your world, if you can just share a little bit about how you got into this world, which I think is just so incredibly fascinating.
Thank you, Nicole. Well, you know, for me, it all started with this book, Linda Goodman's Sun Signs, and my father brought it back from New York. We were living in Geneva, Switzerland at the time. And I literally devoured that book, and I thought, oh, my God, somebody who has never met me can describe me better than the people who know me and live with me. And I was not, you know, I was a teenager. I was 14, and I was very, you know, like most teenagers, not feeling great, not very insecure in her life and not very clear on what she was, who she was. And I decided on the spot I was going to be an astrologer. And my parents were like, yeah, what is that? And I went on to fulfill my dream, and I started, you know, reading everything and looking at all the charts of everybody. I taught myself very soon to calculate charts because it's not just your sun sign, it's also the whole map of the heavens when you were born based on your date of birth, the month, day, year, the time of birth as exact as possible, and the place of birth, city, state, and or country. And that is as specific as a, you know, as a blueprint for a building, and it is unique to you unless another child, and this happens in big cities like LA, for example, that somebody, another child from totally different parents would be born at exactly the same date, the same time, at the same place. And they actually have parallel destinies, and these are called astral twins, and that has been proven, and it's actually quite fascinating to see how their lives, you know, sort of parallel each other, mirror each other, even though they are of separate parents, different parents.
That's incredible that you say that. You know, I know that you work in 57 countries, which is just amazing to me, and on 5 continents, and you have clients all over the world, and everything from astrology to tarot and numerology and your psychic abilities. And so, you know, as you're sharing about the energy field and being born in a specific time, I remember I saw a movie a couple years ago that was part of the Sundance Film Festival and the film festival cycle, and this man thinks that he is getting a raise on this particular day, and he's so excited, and then he ends up getting fired. And it's his birthday, and he thinks he's going to have a 5-star day, and he comes home, and it ends up that his girlfriend has been cheating on him, and his whole life spirals down, and what he decides to do is, for his master's class, is to actually go out and go around the world and try to find people that were born on the same day that he was and the same time that he was, and to see if on that particular day they all had days like his. And it's amazing that they really did, and they really
do. Wow.
And how close.
That's
and it's so interesting. It really was. And so when you say that somebody's energy, the day that they're born or the pinpoint of the time that they're born, unfolds their life. So can you say, okay, if I was born on this particular day at this particular time in this particular city or state or country, that this is the kind of year I'm going to be having, or this is the kind of person I should be partners with, or how does that work?
You know, this is very interesting, Nicole, and that's what actually, and I'm glad you're asking me this question, and I'm glad you're sharing this movie, because really, astrology is an incredible, incredible, and probably the most powerful tool for enlightenment and for empowerment. So if you get a reading to hear you're going to have a bad day, such and such a day, I don't think it's going to be very useful. And in the end, astrology is not about telling you it's going to be good or it's going to be bad, because everything is very relative, you know? Like, we're talking about relationships. People ask me often, I just met this person. Is this a person who's good for me? Well, I'm not going to answer that, because if you met that person and you are attracted to that person, it's necessarily going to be good. You know, and even if the relationship ends up not being so good, there is something we have to learn from that. And there is a reason why we attracted that experience in our lives. So what is important to understand is the meaning behind experience. And for example, in the movie you're talking about, this man got fired. Well, externally it looks like a bad thing, right? And it looks like all his dreams went down the drain, and then his, you know, girlfriend cheated on him, that's further down the drain. But maybe this was actually blessings in his life. And maybe it was what he needed to finally find himself and free himself. I haven't seen the movie. Now I'm
right,
I would like to see it.
It's the most beautiful movie, because he meets these people around the world that are amazing people that were born the same time that he was born. And it's interesting because it ends up being one of the greatest gifts that he was let go, and his journey and his path and this whole process is really one of the most magical things that you possibly can imagine. And the fact that he chose this as his master thesis, it made him, you know, even more recognized and brilliant, you know, amongst the scholars. And so it's really quite beautiful to watch.
So this is a wonderful example, Nicole, and I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because really, it's not so much what happens. First of all, nothing happens to us. We need to be very clear on that. We happen to events. We happen to people. And it's who we are that opens certain doors or closes certain doors. And then, no matter what we happen to, what develops in our lives as a result of our consciousness, it is our consciousness that determines whether it's going to be good or bad. And I always give this example of, you know, we can have all the ingredients to create a cake, and flour and sugar and butter and eggs and everything. And it's not so much the ingredients that are the problem, it's the skill of the cook that's going to make this sumptuous cake or burn those cookies, you know. So in the end, what astrology shows us is what do we have, what ingredients do we have, and what is the most empowered way to use those ingredients to create the best life we can have. Which means that when we meet somebody, you know, there is no perfect relationship. I mean, there is, of course, there's always the most, you know, there's relationships that are easier than others, there are relationships that are way more challenging, you know, than others. But it's not, that's not so much the issue. The issue is how do we approach this relationship? How do we understand the strengths and the weaknesses of that relationship? How do we understand why did I attract that relationship, first of all? Why did I attract that person in my life? What do I have to learn from this? How am I going to learn it? By taking responsibility for what is going on in the relationship. And theoretically, I think even a bad relationship can be made positive. If, I mean, of course, I'm not saying, you know, stay in an abusive relationship or a dysfunctional relationship, but ask yourself why. Because it's not so much a matter of leaving that bad, quote-unquote, relationship, but it's a matter of making sure we never fall in that trap again, that we understand the lesson, and then it will have been a gift on our path and not something horrible that happened to us that we are a victim of and we're going to drag with ourselves for the rest of our lives and be so bitter that we never want to enter another relationship again. You know, if somebody leaves you, for example, you know, we may cry, but in the end, if they left you, they were never right for you. So why would we punish ourselves and shut our hearts because somebody who was not right left us? Thank you. Thank you for leaving, you know. And it's about really, and that's where astrology is very powerful, because astrology will give you very specific pointers to what a person is, what to expect, how to deal with it in a positive way so that you can make the most out of that and understand and grow from that. So astrology is not about, oh, poor me, today I'm doomed, it's going to be a bad day. It's about, okay, how can I make this day better, good? How can I learn from this day? How can I learn from this relationship?
I love it. So when you do somebody's chart, you do their astrological chart, and you are able to pinpoint that, you know, specific energy or the time that they were born or whatever that they came in with, and then when should someone have their chart done? At any time can you have your chart done, or is it a great time before you're starting a life with somebody, or is it important to have both your charts done together if you're in a relationship and going to be starting a life together?
You know, that's an interesting question too, Nicole, because really there's no rule. It's really when you feel you need a push. But certainly when you meet someone, it will be helpful to know, you know, what your what is the potential of your relationship, what is there, and what is maybe hidden. Because sometimes, you know, we are all in love and happy and excited, and then 6 months down the road, we're like, oh my God, I never realized this guy had anger, or I never realized this woman was so crazy, or, you know. And it's about really seeing already from the get-go, because I see that a lot in readings, that especially maybe women, but men too, that we have expectations. We have an idea of what kind of relationship we want, you know, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But then we have to understand that we're not all equal when it comes to relationships, meaning that some people, for example, and you can tell that from the position of Mars in their chart that will represent sexuality, some people are not very sexual, and that's the way they are, and some people are absolutely not meant for monogamy, that's the way they are. Some people, you know, are very adventurous sexually, or some people are very cozy sexually. So it's not like there's a right or a wrong, you know, there's no right and there's no wrong. But there is a certain makeup that we have that, you know, that if you have a woman who's expecting monogamy from her husband or from the man she's dating, and you look at the mouth of that guy and you're like, you know, that's kind of a losing proposition, because that man is not really understanding monogamy the way you do, and it's not exactly the wavelength he's on. So know that, and if you still want a relationship with that man and still try to open your mind or hope you're going to change him, which I think is not a good idea anyway, but, you know, go for it. But at least you know what you are getting into, you know. Or like emotionally, some people are extremely into relationships, you know. They really want balance. They really want togetherness. They really want to do things together. And that would be, for example, somebody with Venus in Libra is very miserable if they're not in a relationship. You know, they need to be in a relationship. They need this togetherness. Somebody with Venus in Aquarius is going to be someone who is very independent, somebody who is extremely a free spirit, somebody who will feel intimate with a number of people and will feel almost more comfortable in a room full of friends than with just one person, you know, saying words of love. Or someone with Venus in Gemini will need to have tons of letters and phone calls and, you know, and discussions about everything, and will feel very in love with somebody who can talk with them all the time. And somebody with Venus in Taurus will want peace, will want harmony, will want to just, and will maybe take a very long time to declare their feelings. So we need to understand those differences, because they're very real. And once we don't expect another person to necessarily, you know, express their emotions the way we would express them, and that they still can be very madly in love with us, they just don't express it the same way, then we're fine. You know, if a Venus in Virgo offers you an oven, that's a huge, you know, expression of love for Venus in Virgo, because it's something practical, it's something real. But for a Venus in Gemini receiving an oven, that doesn't feel like love at all, because a Venus in Gemini wants a love letter, wants to discuss the last book they read, you know, the last movie they saw. So that's why having a chart done is going to be very important, because you will start to see, you know, what are the differences, and can you live with that? And if you can, and you are ready to grow from that and understand that we're not equal and not all the same, then it can be an incredibly enriching relationship. So I don't believe in this thing, you know, Aries and Capricorn don't go together. Well, that's not necessarily true. And I know, you know, and I myself as a Capricorn have had, you know, a very, very long relationship with an Aries that was very, very meaningful to me. And it was great, you know, and although technically we were not matched, we were matched, you know. So it is about understanding also how we live our daily lives together, because a relationship, it's very involved. It's not just, you know, let's be in love and happily ever after. It's how do we deal with friends? How do we deal with work? Is one very sociable? Is one wanting to stay home? Is one wanting to travel the world? Is one, you know, happy to be with family? Is one wanting to have 15 children and the other one wants nothing to do with children? You know, I mean, it's a long list of things that, you know, enter in a relationship. And it is important to really understand, you know, not, I mean, there's usually, it's very rare to see two people who are attracted to each other, and you look at their charts and you're like, what the hell? How did these people even meet, you know? It happens, but it's beyond rare. It's very rare. But you will always see, understand why two people connect and what is the thing that connects them. And sometimes it's a karmic contract. Sometimes we have to be, and there are specific aspects, like, for example, the sun of one squaring the Saturn of another, that, so a 90-degree angle between the sun of one and the Saturn of the other, the position of Saturn in that chart. And that, usually, you find that so often in people who end up marrying, because that's a kind of relationship, even if people want to leave the relationship, they absolutely cannot, because they have to work it out. And it's really a relationship that can bring out insecurities, that can bring out control issues, that can bring out fear, but it is a relationship where the two people have to mature, and they can only leave the relationship when they're able to really feel strengthened by their link with each other and really learn from each other how to fall in those insecurities and how not to fall in those insecurities and how not to try and control the other. So it can be challenging, but those relationships usually mark you for life and are really, if you look back, the most profound ones and the ones that were the most important. And some people end up being able to work it out in such a way that they don't have to separate. You know, they can stay together. So there's so many, it's so complex. The astrology of relationships is one of my favorite topics. That's why I was so excited that you invited me. Because astrology has so much to say about relationships, and it's so specific and it's so profound. Like, for example, it's not just how a person affects another, it's also how a person brings certain things out of another. Like, for example, if you meet somebody whose Mars is on your sun, that person is going to make you feel energized. You're going to feel like alive when you're next to that person. You're going to feel like that person gives you energy that helps you get out of your shell and start to be able to conquer the world and create projects and do things in life, you know? For example, if somebody your Venus is on another person's Neptune, then that person is going to see you through like rose-colored glasses. It's going to feel that you are like this incredibly magical, perfect person. But the problem also of a Neptune-Venus transit, connection between two charts, the chart of each person, so I hope I'm explaining this well. You know,
really quickly, because as you talk about the Mars and Venus or the Neptune or if you're Saturn, and can you explain a little bit about what that is for those that astrology is new for?
Yes,
them?
Yes. So, you know, we are born, like if we say, I think, Nicole, you're a Gemini, right? So that means your sun is in Gemini. And I'm a Capricorn, so my sun is in Capricorn. But that is only one aspect of the chart, because we have a rising sign, which is a sign that was rising on the eastern horizon at the time of our birth and the date and the place. That's why the place is so important. And we also have other planets, and those other planets could be literally in any sign. So Mercury and Venus are never very far from the sun, so they can be in the same sign or the sign before, the sign after, but that's pretty much it. But the other planets, and of course the slow-moving planets like Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, are generational planets, which is actually quite interesting because, for example, the generation of peace and love and the hippies, they all had Neptune in Libra. So it was all about, you know, this generation of, you know, let's all live in community and have sex with everybody and, you know, and live in a daze and smoke and drink and, you know. But they did bring this sort of ideal unconditional love into the consciousness of people. So each generation has a very specific role to play. Like, for example, when Pluto entered Scorpio, that was the generation of AIDS. That's when we started talking about AIDS and when people became very aware of the dangers of sexuality and the power of sexuality and how to use it in a wise way and not just, you know, randomly use it as sports sex and as something fun. So it's actually quite interesting to even go into those generations. But for example, Mars can be pretty much in any sign. And that in a relationship chart, it represents your attitudes towards sexuality. Venus could be, usually it's pretty close to the sun, so it's in, you know, within two signs of the sun sign. And that will represent your emotional makeup. How do you love? How do you feel love? How do you express your love? The moon could be literally in any sign because it shifts signs every 3 days. And the moon represents our instinctive emotional responses. So, for example, somebody who's got their moon in Virgo are going to be more thinking their emotions than feeling their emotions. Things will go through their heads before they go through their hearts. Somebody who has the moon in Cancer is going to be very attached to home and is going to be very emotional and very subjective and sometimes overly emotional, but in a way of really feeling everything so strongly that, you know, this is a very strongly rooted person, rooted in emotions. The moon in Aquarius is going to be somebody who's very detached emotionally, somebody who loves having friends but who doesn't, you know, who's not so good with commitment to one person, who needs their freedom, who needs their space, you know, who needs to be able to do their activities and continue dealing with their lives and all their projects. So these are really the three main elements that are very significant in a deep relationship, I mean, marriage type, you know, love relationship. And of course,
As I jump in here, as you're talking about the relationship with your partner, I would imagine that also works in your own family, with your brothers and your
absolutely
sisters, to understand.
Absolutely. Like, for example, when a parent has their Saturn on a child's sun, that's going to be tough for the child because the parent is going to be very restrictive and the child is going to feel the parent as very restrictive. And it's interesting, actually, I had the honor and the pleasure of doing readings for whole families, and it's amazing how the same parents are viewed so differently by each child of the same family. It's amazing, and how they bloom or react completely differently to exactly similar circumstances. But it's because of their makeup, it's because of the connection with the child, so with the parent. So it's actually also very interesting talking about relationships for parents to have the chart of their children when they're born, because it will help the parent. I don't usually do really the chart of the child, but I will help the parent see where they should be, where maybe they are going to be too tough on the child. This is a very sensitive child, and the parent is going to be very disciplinarian, and that doesn't fit that child. You know, it's not the way to help that child. So it's very important to have those keys just to be aware. You know, astrology provides the map. And then once you have the map, you can choose what road you're going to take. You know, like on GPSs, they usually give you, on the iPhone, they give you three roads, and you choose the one you prefer. And that's the same in astrology, is that it's not going to tell you this is good, this is bad. It's going to tell you, okay, this is what's going on. Now, here are keys for you to deal with this differently. You know, like, for example, I had the other day this man who was in a relationship, and he's like, oh my gosh, there's so much drama in this relationship, blah 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 blah, and he goes on and on about that, and you know, and I'm looking at their chart and I'm saying, you know, actually, I believe the drama is really coming from you. You know, I mean, so he's a little shocked by that, but you know, when I started explaining a little deeper what I meant and what I was seeing in his chart, it made so much sense to him that he was actually projecting on his partner stuff that he never had resolved with his own mother, because usually that's the first relationship, you know, especially for a man. And he was actually seeing her through his own unresolved consciousness. And once he was able to shift his consciousness, then all of a sudden the dramas dissolved and disappeared. There was no need for those. It was just there for him to understand something about himself. And the normal course, he probably would have said, well, next, you know, and gone to the next relationship and created that again and then again and then again. You know, we all know people who keep marrying the same person. and they may have a different name, so but it's the same person
absolutely.
Over and over again.
Yes, now I have a question about... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, please. I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask, as you were, you know, going through the signs, and so astrology really teaches you about a relationship with yourself, as well as the relationship with your partners and with the outside world. It really is
absolutely.
Almost a roadmap or a blueprint to your own world and your own intricacies.
Absolutely, Nicole, and I'm so glad you're saying that, because really the first relationship, the ultimate relationship, is with oneself, and is to fall deeply in love with oneself and to realize that this Venus and this Mars, they are inside of you. So yes, we may want to find, you know, for a woman, a man who matches her Mars, and for a man, the woman who matches his Venus, because that's the archetype he has inside of him, but and that's the archetype she has inside of her. But ultimately and first of all, we need to have a relationship with ourselves, because if we're constantly looking outside of ourselves for these answers, it's going to be very difficult, because we're going to put a lot of pressure on other people, and nobody is really going to be able to ever satisfy all of what we are and need and demand. So what is essential is to really know oneself. And, you know, it's so interesting now, because if you look around, there's so many single people, and there's so many people that it's actually more rare to see a person in a good relationship than a single person. And there is a reason to the madness. It's not like we're incapable of relationships. It's not, I mean, of course, our life has become very insane and fast-paced and difficult and full of demands. But it is because now we have to know ourselves. And I think most people now are becoming more discriminative. You know, they don't want just any guy or any woman. They don't just want to be in a relationship. We don't have to be in a relationship, you know. In ancient times, it was survival to be in a relationship. We entered in relationships just to be able to have money and to be able to not have to work and not be, you know, pointed at in the street. And it was a disgrace not to be married. Today, you can totally be a single woman or a single man, and nobody's going to think anything's wrong with you. But it is important. It is important that we learn to know ourselves and to be in relationship with ourselves, because ultimately, you know, a person in our life, of course, it's more fun when we have a great relationship, we're madly in love, and, you know, and we're in bliss, and the person is madly in love with us, and we have great sex and everything. It's wonderful, you know. Everybody dreams of that, of course. But there's also great joy in having the freedom to live your life. There's also, and maybe now is also a time to create new relationship paradigms, because everybody talks about the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is not exactly a very relationship-oriented sign at all, you know, and it's a sign of independence, of people coming to terms with themselves and becoming independently who they are and becoming responsible for what is going on in their lives and becoming spiritually mature and knowing their truth. Because the true meaning of marriage, I believe, and I love marriage. I think marriage is fabulous, you know, and I had a wonderful marriage, and it was wonderful, you know. My husband died, but it was wonderful while it lasted. But the thing is that it's about being the two pillars of the temple, and each pillar should be complete in its own right, and then life can flow in between. But I see so many people wanting a relationship basically to save them from their misery, from, you know, lack of money, from sadness, from grief, from basically wanting to have a relationship not to have to face themselves. And that's a very dangerous way of approaching a relationship, because you are going to attract a person who's going to be half-baked or a person who is not complete, and you are hoping they're going to fill your holes and you're going to fill theirs, and it doesn't quite work like that, you know.
I love if we are able, two pillars of the temple. I mean, that's just such a beautiful image.
It really is about this completeness, you know. I think good relationships come but when two people have truly worked on themselves and are really feel fulfilled on their own. You know, they say that things happen when we're not looking for them. You know, that it's really, you know, when you're looking for a relationship, it's like, oh, it never happens. And when you stop looking for it and you start really falling in love with yourself and being so excited and so taken by your own projects and so passionate about what you're doing in your life, all of a sudden a partner shows up and you're like, whoa, where are you coming from, you know?
So interesting. And, I talked to my parents last night, and my father proposed on the first date. And my mom said yes, and we have actually talked about this a lot on the show, and they just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary.
And but that's beautiful.
Mom, it's amazing. And my mom was telling me last night that their parents actually were friends as children, and that when my mom was 16 and my dad was 21, that their parents tried to set them up and that they never wanted to meet and they never wanted to go out. And then on their own, they met all these years later. And they met and they fell in love. So, and you're saying when it's supposed to, when you're not looking, and it's supposed to happen, and how those things work. And then I have a question. When you're talking about the two pillars, and this is a cusp question, because I'm actually July 22nd is my birthday. And so I've never known whether
I was... Oh, so you're not a Gemini. Why did I think you were a Gemini?
I'm sorry.
I thought you were Gemini for some reason.
Okay. But I always...
Okay.
I always, when I see, you know, like... papers that have astrology signs, I always read them both, and whichever is having the better day, that's the one I choose. So, that's how I've lived my entire life. But
I haven't seen your chart, but you must have some Gemini somewhere strong, because that's what I'm picking up from you.
And so, but if somebody is on the cusp, is that two pillars within themselves, or is there a way to determine their actual sign or their chart just off of the time?
Oh, yeah. Nobody is really on the cusp, because even, and that's easy to calculate, you know, with your date, your time, and your place, it's easy to know if the sun falls in one sign or the other, but it doesn't fall, you know, in between two signs. So that's pretty easy. But, you know, it's not just a sun sign. I mean, people get very obsessed with sun signs because that's the easiest thing to determine. The rest needs calculations. But in a relationship, you need to look at least at four elements. The sun sign, yes, the ascendant, so that's four. That's two. Then Venus, Mars, and the Moon. And then, of course, Mercury also, because how do you communicate? You know, how do you... Is one very silent and the other one is a chatterbox, you know, and is one getting annoyed because the other one can't shut up, and the other one is annoyed because the other one can't open up, you know. So there are so those things. I mean, it's pretty much every aspect of the chart is important, but these are the most important elements.
That's
but, you know,
wonderful.
To go back to your parents, I'm sorry.
Yes, oh, that's okay. I do want to go back to my parents, but I just wanted to quickly share with people that are listening, because we're giving them a lot of information right now, that you do have a book, Astrology for Enlightenment, that people can absolutely purchase this book, in which it is just incredible information. And also I just wanted to make sure that you gave people information, because I know people are wanting to have their charts done by you now and wanting to have their mates' charts done by you.
Thank you. Well, actually, you can go to my website, Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Karen, K-A-R-E-N.com, and I'm actually offering a $50 discount for an hour reading for all the listeners of this show until the end of February. So when you sign up for a reading and you go to the final checkout, it will say, ask if you want to add a coupon, and the code is BRIDES, with a plural, B-R-I-D-E-S, and then you'll get automatically the $50 discount.
Oh, that's fabulous. And we will also send that out to people, put it on our site, and it will also be available that we can text that information to you as well. So...
Thank you, Nicole.
So, I wanted to
go back to your parents, because, you know, it's so, I mean, those stories are so magical, and I think everyone, if you ask anybody, anyone would want to have, you know, the story that happened to your parents. And it doesn't always happen like that. And we have to understand that the concept of reincarnation plays a very big role in relationships, because we... usually don't, you know, we fall in love at first sight with somebody we've known before. And usually love at first sight, I mean, in the case of your parents, it was a good experience. Sometimes it can be karma wrapped in a beautiful package, and then we have to live with that for a long time. But it is, again, it is about every time we enter a relationship, it is a chance to clear karma. And also, we may get to a point where we decide we want to be enlightened, we want to be in relationship with the divine, we want to be so complete in a relationship with ourselves that maybe we don't need an external relationship. Or we may also, with the times that are coming now and all the shifts that are happening so rapidly, we may, you know, have a one-night stand with a person and just have a, you know, a weak encounter with someone, and that's like worth a whole lifetime of living together. And not that I encourage that, but I think it's also important to see that there are so many case scenarios. And the more we know ourselves, which is really what the tool, the magical tool that astrology provides, and the more we are able to navigate those waters with consciousness, and we're not just guided by our hormones or by fears or by, you know, external criteria, we are really honoring why we enter a relationship, what it means, the responsibility we have, and how we can also enrich this other person and how we can learn from this other person.
That's wonderful information. It really is. I love the art of astrology. And I love, you know, as you're talking about reincarnation and knowing this and all of the information that's at hand, from our sun signs to our Mars to, you know, everything that is close and our connection to other people. And it's interesting, even when you talk about people in our own homes, as you talk about the way that a parent deals with a child, or even how different people can see a different situation. You know, I know even for myself, my brother is a Capricorn. And when we share stories about our childhood, and he tells about a trip to Disneyland, and I tell about a trip to Disneyland, or I talk about a movie we saw or a play or whatever it is, a holiday event, his story is a completely different childhood than my childhood.
I know.
It's
isn't that amazing?
Through his eyes, we had completely different childhood.
And that's amazing. And it's so interesting to see that. I mean, I saw that with my sister because, you know, my sister died in a hang gliding accident a year and a half ago. But to the day of her death, she was very angry with a lot of stuff of our childhood. And it would always amaze me when we spoke because I couldn't even remember any of that, you know, and she was so attached to it. And I was like, isn't it time to let it go, you know? So she let it go by dying in a way, but I'm sure there was another way, and I think she's realizing now there was another way, but she's learning now, and who says that that was the wrong way of doing it, you know, that was her way. But I would say that also the relationships between siblings, it's so interesting, you know. Like, for example, if you have one of your brothers or sisters who has their Saturn on your sun, you're going to feel that that brother or that sister is actually more your parent than your actual parent. And you're going to feel that, that that's somebody you trust, you admire, you look up to, but also somebody who's very much disciplining you and very much forcing you to be solid and grounded and have tools to fight in life. So that's why we have, I mean, relationships are so complex and so fascinating when we start to look at, you know, how we affect each other and what we bring out in each other also. Because, you know, some people we just don't feel good around these people, and some people we feel fabulous around. We feel so loved and so cherished and so beautiful and so, you know, and that's why we have friends. Also the relationships with our friends, you know, the relationship with the people we work for, the people, I mean, it's like the whole, everything is about relationship if we look around, everything. And relationships are so fundamental. And the more transparent we are and the more we're going to be able to welcome all sorts of different personalities, all sorts of different people, and we're going to be enriched by all that, and we're not going to be bothered or disturbed or in pain or you know, anything like that. So relationships are very profound, and it's very amazing to know your chart and to explore. And then there is an aspect of astrology that is called composite charts, where you take the two charts of the two people, so the two maps of the heavens for the time of their birth, and then you combine them so it becomes a sort of virtual chart that doesn't really exist in the sky, but it's taking the midpoints of the two suns. So you add the two suns and you divide by two. You add the two Venuses, you divide by two. I mean, I'm simplifying the calculations, it's a little more complex than that. But and then it creates a single chart, you know, that is the image of the relationship, meaning that, for example, you know, we all have had that experience. You know, you meet somebody and you have a whole, you know, dynamic with them, and then you meet them with their partner, and all of a sudden it's a whole different dynamic you have in front of you. It's a whole different entity in front of you. And that is represented by or mirrored through the composite chart. And it's actually interesting because when you look at the composite chart, depending on where the planets are in that chart, it's going to tell you if that relationship is going to be more a friendship or a sense of brotherhood, sisterhood, or there's going to be a very strong, you know, passionate component, or it's going to be a great working relationship. And sometimes, you know, even people who are married and you look at that chart and really, it's a chart of a brother and a sister, and when you start to dig a little bit in their relationship, you realize that that's exactly what they're living, they're brother and sister. Although, even though they're married, they're still brother and sister.
Oh,
and other people, you know, who are real brothers and sisters, but they have this very intense relationship, and you look at that chart together, and there's definitely a very strong element of love that's not necessarily expected between two sisters or a brother and sister, you know. So it's all written there, and then when you start to look at that, it explains so many things that otherwise would make no sense. And it starts to put order where there's chaos. It starts to enable to start focusing on the forest, but also looking at the trees and seeing the areas that are a little difficult, but finding ways of dealing with those challenges in a positive way and an empowering way. Because sometimes
as you're sharing this, I'm just imagining this would be a wonderful wedding present for people.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
To
I agree, and it's always good at the beginning of a relationship to know what you're stepping into, because usually we're so in love, you know, we're just like, you know, we think it's going to be the most magical thing in the world, and then gradually as time goes, we start to unravel the problems, and then it becomes, we only see the problems. You know, I have a friend, she went through a difficult time with her husband. I mean, he wanted to become enlightened, and he was meditating all the time, and he was very disinterested in the family, and she was like so unhappy, she wanted to divorce and all that. And when you look at their chart, and I started looking at their charts, and I said, well, you know, first of all, it's only a phase for him, it's not going to last forever, it's only going to last a few, you know, 6 months. And on top of that, this is what you have to learn, what your chart is asking you to develop right now. So, and I say, if you can just start to see it a little bit, like, differently. And then once she shifted her perspective, she realized that it was not as dramatic as she was making it. And in the end, they're still together, and they're very happily together, and they're a beautiful couple, and they have beautiful children, and they're a great family. But it was about shifting the perspective. It was about seeing a bigger picture and seeing that, you know, what each was going through at the time. And sometimes we go through phases where we are not fit for a relationship. You know, there may be a time where all of a sudden we want to travel, we want to study, we want to do something else. And if our partner wants to keep us in the way things were before, it can create a lot of tension that's not necessary. And if instead of being afraid, you know, we are able to understand exactly why this is happening, how long it's going to happen, and what we have to learn from it, then we can deal with it and completely shift gears, and we don't have to blow everything up to survive, you know?
Great. You know, and I have another question as you're talking about this isn't going to last forever. So, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but it's an important question, and I know we have so many people here that are typing and asking that. You, when you hear about Mercury being in retrograde or different times, you know, astrologically, are there times not to get married? That you should actually work with somebody like yourself to say, we were thinking about getting married June 17th. Would this be a good time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To start our life
Gosh, I'm so glad. That's something else. That's electional astrology, because astrology has so many layers and so many dimensions. But electional astrology is finding the best date for different things. For example, for a wedding, best date for starting a project, best date for moving in, you know, because people will say, oh, well, we were madly in love, and then we moved in, and then it was great, and then we got married, and it was terrible. Well, you look at the dates they moved in, it was fine. You look at the date they got married, it was horrible, you know. So absolutely, a wedding date is very, very important, you know, and there are certain rules, and that's actually, that would get into technicality, so I'm not going to enter into that too much, but it's complex, and we cannot, you know, it's very difficult to find the perfect date, but you can find the most, the best date, you know, and so it's always good to offer a range of dates, like I want to be married on a Saturday between April 7th and June 12th, for example, so then, because there are some things we cannot change, you know, there are some things, unfortunately, in the sky we have to deal with, but within that range, it's possible to find a date, and sometimes it's not possible, you know, some people ask me that, and then when I give them a date, they're like, oh, well, no, because the only, you know, we want to get married in that hotel, and the only date they have available is August 16th. I'm like, well, then don't ask me, please, because if that's what you can only do, and then, well, just do it, you know, but if you want to have all the strength on your side, then it's better to check and to look that, you know, the date is the favorable one. So, yeah, there are dates for certain things and dates to avoid. Surgery, the same thing, you know. I mean, that's a totally different topic, but some people, there are certain days we should never operate certain parts of the body, depending on the position of the moon. And the last person who laughed at me actually died on the operation table. And I told him, don't get surgery that day, don't. And he just laughed, and that was it. So it's very serious. Those things are very real. You know, it's not things that we invent and take out of a hat. It's very real, and that's where astrology is really a science, for real. It's not just some intuitive whatever, you know?
Okay, so people that are listening, I know they're going to want charts. So tell us just one more time, your website, your information, this incredible offer that you're offering $50 off for a reading, which is such a gift. Thank you so much for doing that for all of our listeners.
Thank you, Nicole. So my website is Michelle, it's my name, Michelle Karen, michellekaren.com. And if you go to a shop and choose the one-hour reading, so it's only for the one-hour reading, there is a $50 discount, and the coupon is BRIDES, plural, B-R-I-D-E-S. And there is the date, limit date is the end of February 2014 to use that coupon.
That's just amazing. And as people are listening, you know, you should absolutely do this, especially as we're talking about finding the right date. And we definitely want to post this as an amazing gift idea to put on the bridal registry, because if you have two people getting married, what a better gift than to be able to have their charts done. And as Michelle's talking about, where do those points meet in the relationship? We're learning about each other so they have a mutual respect for one another and a deeper understanding of each other, whether it be personality traits or how they receive or accept love or share things or through it, as Michelle is sharing, the rose-colored glasses and through which people see life and what is their perspective or view on life. It's just, they're all such amazing gifts. And, you know, I can honestly tell you that nobody does it better than Michelle. And Michelle, we only have just a couple minutes left, but can you also just share some of your other workshops and things that you're doing? Because I know that there's so much that people can find you for, and I just wanted to open that door and let people peek in there as well.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm doing a very beautiful, I think, shamanic retreat in France on the first weekend of May for 4 days and the second weekend of May for 4 days in a very magical place in the north of France, Le Moulin de Grouche, which is an ancient druidic mill and in a very sacred, enchanted forest. And it's very close to the Cathedral of Amiens where the story of Joan of Arc happened. So that's I'm very excited about that. And I'm offering a mystical trip to Peru with the Caro Master Shamans on the 23rd of September for 14 days and 14 nights until the 7th of October, and where we will go to Lima and explore all the temples of the pre-Inca civilizations and go to the Sacred Valley from Cusco and then go to Lake Titicaca, also on the Bolivian side, Peruvian and Bolivian, stay on the island of the sun, the island of the moon, and we'll do some very profound mystical work every day and see absolutely enchanted the realms and work with the indigenous people, the Caro's master shamans, who are unbelievably powerful masters and beautiful, beautiful beings.
Oh, it just sounds magical. Okay, I'm ready to sign up. I'm ready to go, and everybody else should be quickly signing up as well. And I thank you so much for your time today and your talent and your art, your incredible skill and intuition and wisdom and knowledge, and how truly you take so much time to share with people, and your explanations are always so clear and so concise and so beautiful. It's just like stepping into that realm and that world, and I thank you so much for sharing with such perfection that people can really understand astrology in a whole new way and how it can really help them with the relationship with themselves and certainly with their beloved and their family and friends. So we honor you and bless you, and it's always a joy to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Nicole, and I'm very blessed to be invited by you because you're an amazing host and you're so beautiful yourself. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, we look forward to having you on again. So Michelle, Karen, and absolutely go to the website, type in brides, get a reading, and call me, teach me who you are, tell me who you are, and truly, what a great way to have that happily ever after. Michelle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Nicole, and thank you to all who joined us and listened to this show. Thank you.
What a great, great gift to be able to give a dual chart as a wedding present, or to be able to have your chart done and learn about the relationship with yourself. So I thank Michelle Karen. She's just always one of blessing, one of my favorite people on the planet, and certainly a gift to all of you, and I love being able to bring her to you. And next week we have a very, very special show, Honeymoon Forever. How do you keep that honeymoon going, those romantic times? How do you have these mini dates, long dates, romantic interludes? How do you keep that spark alive? So nothing more special than that. So once again, this is Nicole Brandon with Hourglass Bride. Great gratitude and thanks to Michelle Karen by her book, Astrology for Enlightenment. Have a reading, type in brides. Incredible offer, $50 off of reading. That's phenomenal. She is so gifted. She is so brilliant. And we have so many wonderful shows lined up for you. So wishing you all a wonderful week, and that your happily ever after come true.